Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it is 43 degrees under partly sunny skies. Today's Tuesday, October 2nd, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Polls are now open in Sitka for the 2012 municipal election. There are three things to vote on today: a mayor, three assembly members, and two school board members. For mayor, there are three candidates in alphabetical order. They are Tor Christensen, Mim McConnell, or Cheryl Westover. The winner spends 2 years as mayor. If no one gets more than 40% of the vote, there will be an automatic runoff election in November between the two top vote-getters. For assembly, there are five candidates. You get to choose three. Two of them will serve regular three-year terms. The one who comes in third will be on the assembly for a year. The candidates are Phyllis Hackett, Matthew Hunter, Dallas Peavy, Michelle Putz, and Aaron Swanson. Those are the competitive races. For school board, it's two candidates for two seats. Incumbent Cass Pook is asking for re-election, and Jennifer Robinson is running for the second seat as a write-in candidate. Tom Conley, who has been on the board since 1999, is stepping down tonight. Polls close at 8 o'clock tonight. Raven Radio will broadcast live election returns as they come in from Centennial Hall. And if you're still undecided, we have all kinds of things on our website to help you make up your mind. You can read profiles of the candidates and hear them answer voter questions. It's all online at kcaw.org. Alaska Congressman Don Young says Washington, D.C. is broken, the Senate is stuck, and that Mitt Romney will win the presidential election in November. The 79-year-old Republican has been in the U.S. House since 1973 and is running for re-election this year. He was in Sitka to speak at a fundraising dinner Friday night. He talked to reporters over breakfast the next morning. KCAW's Ed Ronco has this interview.
It is 10 a.m. Saturday at the Dock Shack Cafe in Sitka. Congressman Don Young sits down at a table near the front of the restaurant and orders two pancakes, three strips of bacon, and two eggs.
Eggs over easy?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Please.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my dear.
The eggs are over easy, but Young says the federal government is scrambled. He takes aim at the Forest Service and laments the decline of Southeast's timber industry.
There are no trees being cut in Southeast of any magnitude at all. The fact is, I first took this job, we had over, probably around 10,000 good-paying jobs in Southeast Alaska. Sitka was a lumber town. Etchigan was a lumber town. Petersburg was a lumber town. Wrangell was a lumber town. You know, Thorne Bay was a lumber town. Metlakatla was a lumber town. None of that's here. That's gone.
Young says large-scale logging is not coming back and that the Forest Service's shift toward restoration has hamstrung use of the region's resources. That said, the Tongass is still home to smaller-scale operations. Development struggles are frequent in Alaska, and one of the big ones last year focused on coastal zone management. The state's program, which many said gave Alaska a stronger voice in federal decisions, folded after 30 years when the legislature and the Parnell administration failed to reauthorize it in 2011. And a citizen initiative to restore it was defeated 2-1 in August. That's fine by Young.
It's just another layer of government that impedes communities. We don't need more government. Government produces nothing. It consumes money.
A lot of coastal community leaders, though, would say that coastal zone management was their voice. So I guess... Was their voice in development projects in their area. So how do they keep that voice?
I don't think so. I think you have your own voice right here. You don't need a coastal state management program. You can do it yourself.
Is that just through speaking up to the right legislators or just through normal ways? I mean, how does that happen?
How can you develop anything if the city wouldn't agree to it?
Well, based on the Coastal Zone Management Program, if the city didn't have the say in the federal lands and stuff, it would just kind of come.
Well, if you don't have any set of say in federal lands only 3 miles out, you don't have any say. What do you got to say? They do what they want to do.
That last question was from Daily Sitka Sentinel reporter Tom Hess. Also on the table this Saturday morning, hydropower. It's a primary source of electricity for many Southeast communities. Places like Sitka are trying to expand their capacity and having trouble getting money from the federal government. In Sitka, the Blue Lake hydro expansion contracts came back millions of dollars over engineering estimates.
I want to suggest they put it out to bid again. But we're going to try to work with the state and with the federal government, see if we can't get money, because the idea of we burning any diesel fuel or any heating oil in Southeast Alaska is ridiculous.
Maybe the biggest piece of legislation for Southeast Alaska in Congress at the moment is the Sea Alaska Lands Selection Bill. It would allow the regional native corporation to select land outside the original boundaries set up in 1971. Young's version has passed the House, and a Senate version, sponsored by Senator Lisa Murkowski, is still in committee. Young says he does not know how his bill will fare in the Senate, and that we'd have to ask the Senate that question, but he did have plenty to say about gridlock in D.C., specifically who he thinks is responsible.
Harry Reid. He is probably the worst majority leader I've ever witnessed, and I know him personally. I don't think he's malicious. He couldn't lead himself out of a dark tunnel if the light was at the other end. We've passed 22 good energy job bills to the Senate. Now, they don't have to agree with what we passed, but they ought to work on the issue and send it back to us and see whether we can reach some type of agreement. He won't do that.
Young says he expects the GOP to pick up 4 seats in the House, but have a harder time in the Senate. Republican Congressman Todd Akin's candidacy in Missouri has been hindered by comments he made about rape this summer. And Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown is waging a close campaign against Democrat Elizabeth Warren. He's more assured, though, when it comes to the White House. Young says Republican nominee Mitt Romney will win the presidency in November. That prediction comes despite polls that show President Obama with a slight edge.
Because there's no reason to get upset watching these bobbleheads. That's what they are. I mean, CNN, Fox News, NBC, CBS, and all the rest of them are all bobbleheads. And we got a poll today, a poll here, and it's all nonsense. Because most people now, I know myself, they call me up and I don't even answer it. And a lot of people are just fed up. And so I think you're going to see a pleasant result for myself and the party in November.
Young, meanwhile, faces a challenge from Democratic State Representative Sharon Cisna as he runs for his 21st term in the U.S. House. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Officials have chosen a site for the Mount Edgecombe High School Aquatic Center. Anchorage architect Brian Meisner visited Sitka recently to update the community on plans. Part of that was an announcement about the pool's location.
That's the site of the old powerhouse or power plant. And specifically, it's right where that huge old oil tank was on the hill as you arrive on the campus there.
The site was among 4 considered for the pool. Meisner says it was the best fit for the campus.
That location, real safe and easy access back and forth from the dorms and the hub of student life, and it just works as an extension of the campus.
The pool will be 50 meters long and 25 meters wide. Half the length is for training and diving, plus something for the kids.
That end has a 5-meter platform. Programmatically, that's in there to support trooper training and Coast Guard training. That also allowed us to get a slide in off of that same platform with minimal cost.
The pool will have several diving boards and a removable climbing wall. It will also have a ropes course for trooper training. Plans call for a small, warmer pool that could be used for children's swim lessons as well as physical therapy, but Meisner says it may not fit into the budget. The pool will be open to locals, but a main focus will be Edgecombe students, state troopers, and Coast Guard crews who will train and compete at the aquatic facility. Meisner says many Edgecombe students don't swim.
The opportunity is we're going to be creating leaders out of confidence in the water that can take those skills back to their villages. And that's just really cool. I mean, that couldn't happen anywhere else.
Construction is estimated to run around $35 million. The project already has $25 million from the legislature. Backers hope for another $10 million from the next session's capital budget. If that's appropriated, crews could break ground next summer, with completion possible by 2015. If the funds don't come through, Meisner says officials will either try again or scale back the design. He says annual operating costs are expected to run about $1 million. That will be part of the State Department of Education's budget request. Preliminary drawings of the Aquatic Center will be posted soon with this story on our website, kcaw.org. A 29-year-old Metlakatla man arrested Saturday and charged with first-degree murder allegedly admitted to stabbing 67-year-old Leona Mealy multiple times during a fight at their shared home in Metlakatla. KRBD's Layla Carey reports.
William Buxton appeared in Ketchikan District Court Monday afternoon, his hands thickly bandaged due to injuries allegedly caused during a fight with his auntie, Leona Mealy. According to the complaint filed in court by Alaska State Troopers, an argument early Saturday morning between Buxton and Mealy turned physical. Buxton's mother, Margie Buxton, who witnessed the fight, allegedly told troopers that Buxton tried to strike Mealy with a kitchen chair several times. According to the complaint, Margie Buxton told troopers that she tried to intervene, but William Buxton allegedly pushed her aside. She told troopers that she called the Metlakatla Police Department and then convinced her son to go to the clinic due to injuries to his hand. Metlakatla police arrested William Buxton at the clinic. At about 7:30 a.m. Saturday, the police department contacted troopers and asked them to take over the case. When troopers questioned Buxton, he allegedly told them that he hurt his hand while stabbing Mealy and that he did it to protect his mother. The relationship between Buxton and Mealy has not been confirmed, but in the trooper complaint, he refers to the victim as his auntie. In court on Monday, Buxton talked quietly with his attorney, Sam McQuarrie of the Public Defender's Office. The purpose of Monday's court appearance was to schedule a preliminary hearing for 1 p.m. Friday. Friday's hearing likely won't happen, though. Magistrate Kevin Doran explained the process to Buxton.
What's happening, Mr. Buxton, is the state will most likely bring this case to grand jury. While you're incarcerated, they have to do that within 10 days, so we're setting a date to give them time to do that. They meet on Thursdays, so most likely you'll be indicted on Thursday, and most likely the hearing for Friday will come off the calendar, and it will be reset in Superior Court.
Buxton had his first felony appearance on Sunday, and he remains in custody at Ketchikan Correctional Center on $100,000 bail. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
And once again, polls in Sitka are open today until 8 p.m. in our 2012 municipal election. Sun weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for mostly cloudy, highs around 51 with light winds. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 52, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. This is KCAW in Sitka.